It is playoff football in Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Green Zone Game Day. Jamie Nye. He's Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis. He is Grey Cup champion, former offensive lineman Belton Johnson. Welcome in to the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the West Final at Mosaic Stadium for the first time since 2019 was the last West Final hosted by the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Belton, one win away from appearing in the Grey Cup for the first time since 2013. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This is not for Hotty Toddy. Are you ready for this one, Belton Johnson?
Oh, man, that's a trigger word for me.
Are you ready?
I'm ready for this, man. And I think that, more importantly, I think the team is ready, right? You know, I think they got a lot of healthier people back on that team. The roster, from what I've seen, looks first class to me. And what else? The weather looks amazing out there, feels amazing out there. And I don't know. They're ready for it. I'm not worried at all. Is that good or bad, Darryl? I don't know. I feel good about today for some reason.
That's the way they feel too, I think. When you watch them this year, I just wrote something in the Leader Post this week that last year they weren't ready. They just didn't seem like they're the way they feel this year, right? Yeah. And they learned from last year. They're better because of it, because of what happened last year. But last year there was just a little bit of disorganization, not some uncertainty all along the way. Mm-hmm. This year, right from the start, it's like we learned something from last year. Losing that Western Final to Winnipeg, getting clobbered basically by Winnipeg. We needed to do something, and they did. They grouped and huddled together. They love each other. I'm getting tired of hearing how much they love each other, right? But it's a part of being a winning football team and how well prepared they are. They're a mature team. We've said that right from the beginning, but now it's really starting to show. But they are chomping at the bit a little bit to get out there and play because they do want to prove something.
And it was announced earlier today. It will be a sold out crowd at Mosaic Stadium this afternoon.
Chaos. I expect unorganized chaos, like it's Gotham City. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, AJ Allen's ready for a sold out crowd. Belton, how important is the crowd for today's game? Or maybe is it overblown on how much a crowd can impact a football game?
A crowd can definitely impact the game. Just, you know, I heard them say chaos and everything, right? And, you know, for the other team, if they can't hear Rourke, if, you know, especially on the O-line, you got to be tuned in. And one thing as O-linemen I've always hated is silent count, because you're just so used to, you know, set go or set hut. And when you, as a tackle, if you're peeking in, and that crowd, you're hearing the crowd, it just causes confusion. And even with the defense, it just hypes everybody up, right? And I think that'll be the biggest thing, just to hype the team up, more fuel for the Riders.
They've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, Jamie, haven't they? Like, come on out and help us out, help us out. Because right when Corey Mace arrived here, the head coach, he said, we're all a part of it. And the fans have believed that, and they are. They see them. People criticize, well, it's not sold out. Well, not everybody can afford going to games every single time. They've saved a lot of it for this one. They want to be there, and the Riders want them there. They've asked them very politely to show up, and they have. They've responded, and I think it's going to be pretty loud in there.
I think so, too. I think people are going to be out. How do you stay warm in minus 12 wind chill? Clap your hands, stomp your feet, get moving. And that's what I think Rider Nation is going to be doing. Of course, it is the 12-6 Rough Riders, the number one team in the West Division, the number one team in the league. The BC Lions finished with an 11-7, just one win fewer than the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, who hosted and won, beat the Calgary Stampeders on a Sean White walk-off field goal last week to send them back to Regina. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show, West Final Edition, ahead of the Rough Riders and the BC Lions at a sold-out Mosaic Stadium. I just looked at the Ticketmaster map. There are a few resale tickets up for grabs. Not very many, though. It's going to be jammed. I can't wait. I don't know. Can we talk a little bit about 24, like last year's West semi against BC at Mosaic Stadium compared to this West Final? I know it's different. But last year it was like, oh, home game for the playoffs. But then they got to go to Winnipeg and take on the Bombers in the West Final. And it was like, we'll see. This one, there is a belief. Don't you feel it there? From the fan base to the media, to the team in the locker room?
Yeah, that's where it starts, Jamie. It's a belief in themselves. Last year, they all said, yeah, we thought we could do it, and that's why we were so disappointed. I've asked Corey Mace about that lots of times. You saw what they were like in the locker room afterwards. They were disappointed. They thought they may have said that they thought they could have. They couldn't. If you look at it last year, they just weren't all together. There was a first-year head coach putting things together, wasn't familiar with all his staff. Their strategies were a little inconsistent. He made some coaching errors last year. I don't know if he's made any this year. You know, I'm going to sit there and look for little things to nitpick. I don't think he's made a tactical decision that's hurt his football team this year. Those are the types of things that show me they're ready, that make them believe they're ready, and make the fans believe they're ready.
Well, for me, Darrell, I think is just the depth and layers of the team that they've built, right? And the experience that has been gained. You got guys that are third, fourth stringers that may have started or, you know, gotten some playing time and meaningful playing time, right? Yeah. And so they got that whole layer, and I just feel a confidence and, you know, it's just a calmness or something. Like, they're ready to pounce, and, you know, the prize is there. It's theirs for the taking right now. But, again, like Harris said, or like you said, they got the adversity. Like, if something happens, like, are they ready for that? I think they are. They're primed. They're ready. They're focused, man.
And last year they had trouble dealing with those things. Even the Miles Brown stuff, right? Remember?
Yes.
They're learning. To all full credit to them for how they tried to handle it, but they just weren't as experienced as they are now. Yep. And you're right. The rosters, they've added a couple guys to the roster. This roster is better at playing together. Jermarcus Hardrick tells us this all the time. We love each other so much now, and I know I'm getting tired of hearing it, but now we can tell people what we're thinking. Last year we were still new to see everybody, right? And so we were unfamiliar, and if I said something harsh to a brother who sat beside me, then he would get mad. Now he knows I'm doing it out of love, and I'm telling him this is something we got to work on. Yep. And he doesn't get mad. He says, we trust each other so much. And that's why I think they're capable of it, Belton. And that's the type of thing you notice in a locker room, isn't it?
It is, man. It is.
Well, A.J. Ouellette said it yesterday at his news conference. We were building a culture last year, but we didn't have the culture what it takes to win.
Yeah.
This year, after another year together, this is the culture it takes to win. Mm-hmm. He even feels a difference. As we get to Britton Gray's All or Nothing, as the West Final, let's be honest, since 2013, hasn't been kind to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and Britton Gray looks at what has been a long road to try to get back to a Grey Cup.
It's been over a decade since the last time the Riders have played for the Grey Cup. Saskatchewan was last there in 2013. Only one other club hasn't been to the Grey Cup since that time. But the Riders have been close to getting back. In 2017, they nearly did it as the crossover team.
Chartle again calls his own number and scores the touchdown. And Ricky Ray has done it again.
Then hosted the West Final in 2019, falling short again.
End zone off the upright ball, and the Bombers have won the Western.
And then the recent trips to Winnipeg have ended in heartbreak.
From start to finish. And the Bombers are going back to the Grey Cup again.
Defensive tackle Micah Johnson admits you do think back on those losses.
Oh, it's up to the guys that's been here. Some of the vets have talked to guys about it to have. I know I have. But, I mean, I can think back to my first year here since being, Western Finals, 2019. I still think about that. Like, we could have won that. We should have won that. So it's just important for guys to understand, man, these opportunities don't come every time. You're not guaranteed this opportunity. And if you do get this opportunity, you have no idea when you'll be back. So, for guys, man, it's huge. It's huge.
This year, one of the biggest differences will be the West Final will once again be taking place at home instead of going out on the road. Also gave the Riders an extra week of preparation. That sort of difference is something linebacker Jameer Thurman believes can be big.
We did enough in in-season to allow ourselves to take care of our bodies this week and have that first-round bye. But it just allows us to, hone in on things that we got to continue to work on and then go out there and just execute.
But while there are some key differences this year than previous ones, quarterback Trevor Harris believes the fact the team was able to bring back a bunch of players will pay dividends for them.
That we got to all play a year together, and we kept a decent amount of our core guys healthy. We had our fair share of injuries, but obviously with Sam and Schaaf and rolling at the end of the year and Sales kind of being banged up, but our guys are healthy now and excited to get going here in the West Final.
It's those guys who are in that locker room that give Johnson belief this team can take that next step.
The guys in the locker room, man, the guys in here, the camaraderie between the guys, the cohesion from the coaching staff on down, man, I just think the group is special. And it's showing up in different places. It's kind of funny because when it comes to talking championship ball, it's a lot of stuff off the field that doesn't get seen and behind the scenes that really, really matter. And I think, this team's definitely fitting the mold for, previous championship teams I've been a part of.
Riders receiver Sam Emlis admits it would mean everything to make it to the championship game.
You grew up wanting to be champion, Grey Cup champion, Super Bowl champion, no matter. You just want to win championships, and that's something we've been chasing since May. We are close to achieving it, so obviously it's in our hands to make it happen.
And head coach Corey Mace expects that experience from last year to help this team be better prepared for the moment.
The way I think we attacked it last year is everybody was geeked up and, storm the castle kind of vibe. We're just operating business as usual for us, which I think is a good thing.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
That is Britton Gray's All or Nothing here on the Green Zone pregame show as the Riders get set for the BC Lions.
Geeked up. Mm-hmm. I love that. I asked them that because that was my question in the scrum. Mm-hmm. And it's different. They were geeked up last year. When you talk about the maturity and the, yes, they're chomping at the bit a little bit here, but they're not, what did he say, storm the castle vibe. It's not, that's what it was last year. And that's why, sometimes that'll work, but it not as well as let's just keep a rein on things, right? Yep. We learned from last year. We can't attack it the same way. And they're attacking it a little bit differently this year. And it shows. It truly does. To anybody who goes out to their practices, anybody who goes to their games, you can see that there's a little bit more control over them this year. And they're just a little bit better prepared. Another year older, another year more mature. And as Trevor Harris said, that group is basically together. So they trust each other. And that's huge.
Did you see that difference from 06 to 07? Like I remember them going to BC in 06 and it looked disorganized. And then they go back in 07 to the BC yeah. Lions. And you guys looked a lot more ready for the moment.
Well, I would say a lot more ready and more hungry, right? Because you do remember that feeling from the previous year and everything, right? Losing, who wants to lose, right? And even in, I guess, this situation, they're looking back, or at mm-hmm. least those older guys, right? The vets, they're looking back. Oh, we got our butts kicked, right? And now this year, again, it looked like it just appears everything is in place, right? I just see, the O-line is that much better. The D-line is that much better. Every position is that much better.
And no everything. Kicking. It,
well,
we'll get into the
I was trying to avoid that one spot. But
hey,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I agree with you.
Since Labor Day, yeah, Brett Lawther's been better.
He has. But Belton's point is so valid. They just touched up a few things. Like Shane Ray coming in. I know he's hurt.
Yes.
But just he's the type of guy who helped that defensive line, right? Tavon Campbell coming into the secondary and just solidifying that spot and giving them a Canadian spot as a starter, right? AJ Allen turning into the great player who he's become, right? The offensive line. I know they're going four Americans today, but Hardrick playing better and being comfortable with his teammate. Jacob Bramer, all-star, basically in his first full year of playing. They've made themselves a little bit better all across the board in every position. And you talked about it earlier, Belton, too, the experience that they've gotten because they lost some players. Mm-hmm. So they put guys in, and those guys got the real experience to learn how to play and how to be prepared for this.
What was one of their weakest points on offense last year? Speaking of guys coming in to fix things, short yardage. Mm-hmm. So they go and bring in Tommy Stevens, who is just bowl people.
Almost unstoppable.
Where
right?
Shea Patterson last year was like,
Is he going to make it?
They actually started bringing A.J. Ouellette in on short yardage because Shea couldn't do it. But
And they still have that option too this year, right?
Yes,
the OLED option to put him in there. And with Tommy Stevens, one or the other or both at the same time. Yeah. It's been almost unstoppable. I think once or twice all season is all they've been stopped.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the West Final, we will go behind enemy lines and talk to the West nominee for Defensive Player of the Year. Matthew Betts will try to chase down Trevor Harris this afternoon. You'll hear from him next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I'm grateful for these moments. And so it's not like something I just sit here and, you know, put any pressure on myself. I get to live this moment tomorrow. I get to go out there in front of a packed house in the West Final in the CFL playing professional football. And I'm 39 years old. Pretty stinking awesome, man. I'm grateful.
That is Trevor Harris before the West Final. TSN showed a shot of course, he and AJ Ouellette, we found out yesterday, are now living together. AJ Ouellette is pulling a Addison Barger from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Not on the couch. He's in the basement.
He's in the basement.
Yeah.
But AJ Ouellette, he's been doing this since his Toronto days. He brings up like a trailer to live in during the season. And the campground turns off the water when it gets too cold. So he had to move out because he had no water.
And the temperatures.
Yes.
Oh.
So Trevor asked the people that own his house, is that okay if AJ is Ouellette comes? Yeah, you're renting our house. But go ahead. So AJ Ouellette and his girlfriend are in the basement of Trevor's. So they showed up together. Looked like Trevor Harris's dad or somebody dropped him off, gave him a hug. AJ Ouellette is wearing coveralls and a T-shirt in minus.
Did he have a T-shirt on?
Yeah, he had the Captain America. He had the Captain America T-shirt on. And Trevor Harris was wearing the 23 Ron Lancaster jersey. I believe he wore that one going into the Labor Day game, too.
Mm.
They're wearing the retro jerseys today for the West Final. But right now, we're going to take you behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
And this week, I was able to talk to Matthew Betts, who we saw last night having dinner at the same restaurant we were at. I like Matthew Betts. He's quite the character. I think, Belton, you'll like what he has to say on the last question about wearing sleeves or not. But I talked to Matthew about not only the Riders, not only the Lions, but since he came in the league in 2019, everybody but the Bombers have been left out in the cold to appear in the Grey Cup. It was the Bombers since he's been in the league, and he, of course, all those years in the West Division, he's never been to a Grey Cup either, and how hungry he is to get there.
Yeah, well, it's the CFL, so there's always some funky things happening at the end of the season. But, yeah, the Bombers have a really good team. They played a hard game in Montreal. But for us, it's just focus on the next week ahead, and that's Saskatchewan. And they've played us really good this year. So, I mean, everybody wants to get to the Grey Cup at the beginning of training camp. And once you get closer, I mean, you just have to put in a little bit of extra work and make sure you're ready to go. And the only thing we can do is put up a good product on Saturday and make sure we're ready on their tendencies and we play hard.
The defensive side for the Lions, early going, some struggles. It's been coming on, especially the pressure you and the rest of the defensive line have done the back half of the season. What was it, schematics? Was it personnel? What was the click that happened for this Lions defense?
Yeah, I don't know. I get that question a lot in the past couple of weeks, but to me, it's not to forget also that it was a transition year also. So, I mean, a new system. I mean, Benny's been around, so we knew him really well from the past couple of years, but there were still some changes with the schemes and how we call things and a couple of new players. So I think it's normal for a defense to kind of get used to playing with each other and to make sure where everybody fits. But for us, it was just to keep working. And we knew we were doing things the right way, and we were really confident that if we just kept hammering, that at some point things would go our way. So I think we're playing some good football these past couple of weeks, and we're just excited to go out there and do it another time.
I'm interested on the dynamic of that change, because usually when the coordinator changes, the other guy leaves. But in this case, Ryan's still there. What's that like to adjust to a new system but still have the old boss, you know, helping transition to a Benavides style defense and kind of the tweaks he was making.
Yeah, I think it could not have been better. I mean, RP is he's a staple with the BC Lions. He's been as both a player and a coach. So for us, I think it's just very, very valuable to have these two guys in the meeting room, getting us ready and to make sure our game plans are good to go on game day. But it's been really, really good. And I mean, they're two people that we can rely on to make sure we're ready and talk about tendencies. So it's been really good, and we're really fortunate to have both Benny and RP on the staff.
Matthew Betts joining us, of course, nominated Defensive Player of the Year in the Canadian Football League with a league-leading sack total. I was talking to Deontay Williams 2 weeks ago for the pregame show ahead of the Rider game, and he mentioned the re-addition of TJ Lee. Was kind of a boost maybe to the secondary, but when he came back into the room as a leader of the BC Lions, as a KG vet, what did that do for the defense?
Yeah, well, the addition of TJ is definitely, you know, everybody knows how good of a player he is, but the impact he has in the locker room is it's hard to weigh in on. I mean, he's been the leader of this team for the X amount of years. I mean, when I came in 2022, it was him on defense with Brian Burnham on offense. So everybody was really excited, and it might have took him a couple of extra reps on scout team to get his feedback together, but he's such an intelligent player, and he's been great. It just feels natural to have him back on the team. So I'm excited for him because he's been playing some good ball too recently. And he's one of those guys that you're talking about me getting the CFL in 2019, and it's been a long time coming, but he's definitely a guy that I want us to win for him to be able to experience that Grey Cup week and to keep playing an extra week for 2025. So he's definitely been great to us.
The biggest change, of course, was the change of head coach. How has Buck grown to lead a team in his first year, in his first season as a head coach, like Corey Mace did last year, being able to get a team to a West final?
Yeah, good for him to do it on his first year, but I mean, he's a really good leader. I mean, Buck, he just came up here and he's all about work, and that's all he's ever telling us, is that he praises work, and he wants to make sure that, I mean, we're always focused on 1 week at a time, and to make sure we're talking about creatures of habits, that we stay on our routine, and we push to do what we can do and to focus on us, and that's when good things come to us. But as a new head coach, I can say Buck is pretty unanimous in this locker room. Everybody is really, really excited to have him on board to lead us, and it's been going really well with him.
What was it about Saskatchewan that you need to be better prepared for from the first two meetings against them with those losses early on in the season, Matthew, to get yourself to your first Grey Cup appearance?
Yeah, well, Sask has a really good offense. They have good players, but I mean, it doesn't change from week to week, regardless of who we're facing. It's stop the run first, and then try to get the quarterback uncomfortable. So I've played with Trevor. I know Trevor really well, and I know the kind of quarterback and the kind of leader he is. So if we don't make it cloudy for him on Saturday, it's going to be a rough day for us. So for us on the D line, it's definitely to make the pocket as cloudy as possible and to try to maybe make him throw the ball a little bit early that he would like, or maybe try to hit him so the ball doesn't go out the way he wants. But they have a really good running back with AG, but I feel like the offense goes through Trevor, and it's going to be our job to try to make his day a little bit more difficult than he would like. So, he's a really good player.
The Riders want it as cold as possible for the BC Lions. Do you think that'll matter if it's -5?
Honestly, I really hope it's colder than -5 to me. The weather shouldn't affect anybody, to be honest. So whatever weather it is, I'll just go out there and try to play my game.
Yeah, no sleeves though, right, Matthew, in the cold weather?
I will have a sleeve or two. I mean, I get it. All these guys, they work hard in the weight room and try to show off. Yeah, I'm trying to be comfortable. So from this point on, Jamie, you will see me with long sleeves. So I'm not trying to impress nobody. I'm trying to stay as warm as possible.
That is Matthew Betts. What do you think, Belton?
It's not about impressing anybody. It's just let's man up. Let's go.
Why do offensive linemen do that? It's always the old lineman whose skin just turns frozen colors during these because he won't wear long sleeves. Why are they restrictive? Why did you offensive linemen think that you can't wear long sleeves in weather like this?
For me, it's, you know, like he mentioned the word comfortable, right?
Yeah.
For me, it was always about comfortable. Really? And if I don't have the long sleeves, I just feel like my arms, you know, it's not restrictive.
You can hold somebody better.
We don't hold. With, long as you're inside the chest, it ain't holding, man.
And it's easier to do that without long sleeves on. Okay,
But the D-lineman can grab a sleeve, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. They could grab and everything.
So that's another reason. Lineman, okay, right? That makes a little bit of sense in that way.
It was comfort for me.
I thought it was just macho thing.
Maybe a little bit. Just a little bit.
You old lineman.
As we get set here on the Green Zone pregame show for the West Final, the Riders and the BC Lions, as the Montreal Alouettes are up 13-10, and they have the ball on the Hamilton 26-yard line. So there's 12 minutes left in the East Final with the Alouettes threatening to pull ahead by two scores again.
I got a Hardy Cup score, too, on the University of Regina Rams Twitter account. Rams are up 24-16 over the Huskies in the Hardy Cup in Saskatoon with about 12 minutes to go.
All righty. And there's provincial high school finals going on right now. Congratulations to Holy Cross last night, the 6A high school champions in Saskatoon. They edged Miller last night. What was it, 5 points, 21-16, I think, was the final on that one. Of course, the 5A, 4A, 2A, and 1A championships are all going on right now as we speak, as well as the Hardy Cup. Then you got the Canadian Bowl tomorrow with the Toppers trying to win another national championship, the Okanagan Sun, and in Yorkton, the Prairie Girls Football League championship as well with Yorkton against Musiman. So, football weekend in Saskatchewan is full throttle this weekend. We got bold prediction questions coming up inside the green and white. And the tailgating tip, the hint this week, Daryl, was comfort food from from Belton Johnson. Comfort.
I can never guess. He's good teasers though all the time.
I see this one had me a bit. I didn't know what to expect.
Well, the bag's right here. You want me to check?
No, I want it to be a surprise. Okay. More coming up here on the Green Zone pregame show. Directly ahead, we will hear from Logan Ferland and Malik Carney on Inside the Green and White on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the West Final. The Riders against the BC Lions at a sold-out Mosaic Stadium. Out east, the Montreal Alouettes kicked a field goal. They're up 16-10 on the Hamilton Tiger Cats, just over 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter of that game as Davis Alexander tries to go to 13-0. As a starting, unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
He's a cocky kid, too. He's taunting the Hamilton fans. He's giving them the, I can't hear you, and waving at them. So, man, he must be driving them crazy. But he just makes big play after big play, it seems like. And they're a different team with him at control.
It's interesting. Dave Naylor on the pregame show on TSN, there is speculation that Bo might have made it known to some people around him that this could be it for Bo Levi Mitchell, despite the great season he had. It's something to watch out for after this game or after the Grey Cup on the future of Bo Levi Mitchell. But they got a young stud in Montreal in Davis Alexander. 9 minutes away from a Grey Cup appearance, but it's 16-10. It's in Hamilton. So Bo's got the ball to try to win this one for the home side Tiger Cats. But let's go inside the green and white. Spoke to Logan Ferland this week on what it means to be at home in the West Final, so close to a Grey Cup appearance.
Yeah, this means a whole lot. Not just the last year of hard work, but since I've been on the team, been fighting for this personally and just for this organization as a whole. So this would mean a lot.
When you get ready for the BC Lions, we've seen like their defensive line at the start of the season not really doing much, and then the last couple of weeks they have been monsters. What has changed? Like, is it schematically? Like, when you're breaking down the film, you're like, okay, this is what they're – these are the wrinkles they're starting to throw in.
Yeah, I think they're just playing better as a unit. It's like us as well, right? The more continuity we get amongst each other, amongst the unit, the better we're going to be, right? The more you understand each other's playing styles, you can play off each other a little more. Same thing with our O-line. The longer we stop those injuries from happening, the more cohesive we're going to be.
When you look at this, your offensive line, minus 10, like, are you guys, do you lick your chops here? Like, you're a prairie guy. You know what it's like to run the football in weather like this. Like, are you excited for that?
Yeah, this cold fall weather comes and snow starts coming, you're licking your chops because we all know what that means. So we're excited for that and just excited and excited to play a fun football game. That's what we're excited for.
Does AJ have a little, like, come on, boys, let's go here? Does he have meals on the line for 100 on Saturday?
Honestly, I'd like to say there was something in there, but nothing changes for us. We try to keep it the same week to week and want to know.
What is this like to have the offensive line, Edwin Harrison, Mark Mueller, go, okay, we pretty much have everybody available outside of Sean McEwen? Like, what's that like to go, okay, it's going to be tough for some guys not to play, but you could have a couple of beasts up front with you?
Yeah, it feels like a luxury we've never had, right? You said it yourself. We're used to being injured all the time. So to be able to have, like I said, more continuity, even though some things have changed this week, it's still for a reason of guys getting healthy. So very lucky to have that. You know, guys have been working their butts off in that room. Just to keep everyone on the same page and have us plug and play like nothing happened.
This place is going to be packed. It's going to be loud. It's going to be electricity. Do you have to handle that emotion, or do you embrace that?
Yeah, I think there's an importance in soaking it all in, living in the moment, but also not getting too high and also not too low. You know, we're expecting a difficult game, right? We're going to be playing all four quarters of football. There's no easy game in the CFL, especially in playoff time. So we're expecting to fight for it and expecting to just soak it all in.
That is Logan Ferland, offensive lineman of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Four American offensive linemen in a playoff game. I can't remember the last time the Riders or anybody in a playoff game did that.
Okay, well, you weren't born the last time. I was talking to Rob Vansel and the Rider historian yesterday about it, and when was the last time the Riders did it for the four Americans? 1976.
Ooh.
Four American offensive linemen starting. So this year they, and that was necessitated, well, as this one always is too, by some injuries. Logan Ferland's a lone Canadian and he's playing center, but they've got, this is a pretty good offensive line now, man. Belton, isn't it? I know amazing. You like looking at them.
I do. And what, Tate, he's coming back right from that bicep, I think it was bicep.
Pec,
yeah. And yeah, you know, just this group, right? There's a bit of chemistry there and everything. And I know Tate's coming back, but he's a pretty veteran guy there as well, right? So the group as a whole, they get A+ across the board for me, man. As playoff time, Olette's in the backfield. Let's see what's going to happen today.
Could really be the difference in the game, couldn't it?
Now we'll flip things over to the defensive side for Inside the Green and White. I talked to defensive end Malik Carney on the mindset this week with two more boxes to check for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Extreme focus, but we're focusing on the next box, and that's going 1-0 versus BC. We know that they're going to try to come in here, and they pose they will offensively run the ball, throw the ball, so we locked in on that. But honestly, it's not about what they do. It's what we do and how we execute. I know that we'll create havoc up front and make it hard for them to get their plays going.
What has been so key to contain Nathan Rourke?
Up front, continue to be relentless in our rushes. We're working together, we rush together, we're going to get them together. So just talking defensively, guys, we do our jobs, honing in on the details, giving them different looks, you know, and just getting after the offensive line. And I know that we'll come away with the win.
When the temperature chills and you got a team that plays in a dome coming in, do you think it's clearly advantage Saskatchewan?
I would say it's a clear advantage for us for sure. They're not they'll have to come out here and adjust to it on game day. So, you know, that's an advantage for us. But then again, at the end of the day, it's still ball. We still got to go out there and do our job and execute. Those guys over there get paid, too. So I know they're going to come with some fire and trying to, you know, make their way to the Grey Cup. But with my team, our defense, our offense, we're not allowing that to happen. We're going to be there.
But when you have a mobile quarterback who can take off, how much pressure does that put on the containment of him for the edge guys, linebackers?
I wouldn't say it's pressure. I mean, it's another quarterback who's just a little more mobile. We still doing our job, rushing relentlessly, working together to contain him. And, you know, just putting pressure in his face. You know, that we put pressure in his face, he tends to throw up, we call them ducks. So we're just trying to get him to throw some ducks and get our DB some picks and interceptions for pick six. And, you know, hopefully come away with some sacks for sure.
This team, you can speak to it. Like, usually at this time of year, it's just everybody's banged up. And, yeah, everybody's banged up. But there's a lot of tough decisions to be made because the guys coming back that are healthy. Like, what's it like in the room to look around and go, man, we almost got everybody?
Man, it's exciting, you know, to be almost fully loaded. You know, the guys have guys coming back from injury or whatnot. And, you know, as long as everybody's healthy and just ready to play, man, I know we're going to be great. And then, you know, just with the guys coming back, man, there's just so much energy, so much love and passion for the boys. We got so much love in the locker room that we want to do it for each other. And I think that's one of the pedigrees to being a championship team. But we got to handle this game first, and we will.
All righty. Can they contain Nathan Rourke? Let's get to our first bold prediction question here on the Green Zone. By the way, the scoreboard looks like this after last week's comeback from Belton Johnson and all those bonus points. Daryl has 127. I have 126. Belton is 125. It is right. This could be the last one.
Hey, this might be. It might be.
Bonus points for being within 10 is, or spot on, of course, is up for grabs again.
All right. I like this. Hopefully.
I want passing yards for Rourke, rushing yards for Rourke, total touchdowns between passing and rushing. The longest play that he'll throw up today or run for, he ran for 44-yarder last week. And how many sacks do the Riders get on?
How many did they get last week? Four? Or not last week, but
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was three or four.
Four, yeah. Okay. All right. And they got all the dogs back today. Okay.
Passing yards for Nathan Rourke. I'm going to say 320 yards after beatdown. Rushing yards for 50 rushing yards. Touchdowns, two. Longest play, 52. Sacks. He does scramble a lot and get chased around. I'm only going to go with two sacks for the Rough Riders defense.
All right.
Belton, passing yards?
267.
Rushing yards?
Oh, man, that's the tough one there. And what'd you
put? I said 50.
I'm going to go 39.
Touchdowns?
I'll go two.
Longest play? Either passing or rushing.
Let's go 37.
And sacks.
Five.
Woo!
I want to go six. Change it to six, Jamie. Six.
Oh, he's going six.
They're
going
to get out there.
Okay, Daryl, what do you got? Passing yards for Nathan Rourke today?
235.
235. Rushing yards?
45.
Touchdowns?
You said that's him rushing and
throwing?
Three.
Longest play?
20. Longest passing play?
Longest
okay.
play from scrimmage, either passing or rushing?
Yeah, 47.
And how many sacks?
Three.
All righty. We'll see if the Rough Riders contain Nathan Rourke today in the West Final. Meanwhile, East Final. Whew, down to the wire. 16-13. Montreal leads. 5:40 left. Hamilton has the ball on their side of half. We'll see if Bo or it's Davis Alexander.
Limping Davis.
The limpies back in the – they have McLeod Bethel Thompson warming up. Yeah, we'll see how it goes with the Tiger Cats and the Alouettes in crunch time in the East Final. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, what's cooking with Belton Johnson and who's eating? Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.